Well, for God's sake.
Kirby's got to let it out. He's had his sip of pop and he has to let it out.
Really?
Every week we record on a Tuesday, he has to have his butt. Sorry.
Paid feed services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 257. I'm Adam, and yes, but why poison the water in the first place? And here's Debbie Melrose.
Play it cool.
Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
I hear the distress in your mind.
Mary Lang.
In all the years my grandchild and I have travelled, we have never had an argument, and now you've caused one.
And he's back to make the quiz more interesting. It's Matthew Kressel.
Are the hearts of the human creatures on the right or left side of their bodies, or in the centre as in ours?
I thought you were going to go for the whole script then.
No, that's a brilliant line. That was one of mine set up, actually.
Shut the door, please. Yes, put the dog in.
The dog's in, yeah.
That's right. I also had, it isn't going to be pleasant, but it's all for your own good.
This is what I use this brolly for, actually. Matthew will be very proud of my brolly, but it doesn't actually often get used for its prior purpose. It gets
used
for
close the door.
Yeah, for hooking the curtain. Oh, for God's sake.
I've got it.
Hang on, trying to shut the door. Oh, it's sort of closed. I just need to give it a prod at the top. Hang on.
The things that work wonderfully well on an audio podcast.
I didn't either. Yeah, it's shut now.
Yeah, Debbie's going to come and find out what the noise is and ruin it.
Yeah, she'll open the door up. Yeah, just get it shut. Yeah, and also gets used for hooking the curtain from that end because I can't reach across with my arms. Very useful.
Very useful.
It's my question mark umbrella.
It's a seventh. Okay,
oh, yeah. Yes, it is. It's fantastic. I want one.
So this week we'll be looking at the sensor.
Yes. I'm thinking it at
you
with
my
brain.
Yes, the sensor. So let's get straight underway. We're doing a complete episode-for-episode commentary, so everybody got it queued up.
Those always have to work.
Well, it was nice appearing on the show briefly this week.
Okay, so the Doctor and his little team of cronies arrive on a spaceship.
You do get the feeling that quite a bit of time has actually passed since the Aztecs, because the way they're talking is like kind of wistfully about it, not like they've just gone in there.
Yeah, but wasn't this bit sort of slightly at the end of the Aztecs
anyway? It was slightly,
anyway?
But the way they talk, though, it's like it's been a few weeks. It was really,
yeah, and if you watch the way the Aztecs ends, there's a shot of Hartnell at the console, and of course then they fade to black, and then they do this opening scene. Mm. So you could potentially fit a lot of stories in there, and certainly the BBC's Past Doctor Adventures, as well as Big Finish's Companion Chronicles, have fitted stories into the gap right here.
Good, that's what I thought, yeah, because it just, because the last, you know, the Aztecs ended with him sort of being a bit wistful.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they were all a bit jolly and a bit nostalgic.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that Susan makes a deliberate sort of, that show her locking the TARDIS sort of clip.
Yes, this is where I keep my key, and yes.
Yeah. And then they find a couple of stiffs.
Not too stiff, they're quite warm still. Yeah.
They only just died, apparently.
But the kinetic watches had already stopped.
Yeah, I've got one of them. I've got the microphones, my kinetic watch. I got that for my 40th birthday.
Sorry, sound effect.
You can hear it. It's an excellent watch. I've never had to wind it up, and it's a Seiko. So, yes, not Apple.
Seiko.
It's a Seiko. What?
Sounded like Sega, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, good watch. And I don't know if I'm going to get a replacement next year for my 50th. Was that the new year? It is next year, isn't it? Because I'm 49 this year. So it would be next year. So I've just... My mum got me this.
Very nice. I like it.
Yeah. That's just... Yes?
15 quid, local shop.
Okay, fair enough. So, yeah, they sort of decide to leave a couple of times in this episode, don't they? But
we won't meddle. Let's just go away.
Then Maitland wakes up and continues the trend of very posh actors.
Oh, yes, very.
Because British space travel is very posh indeed.
Very Thunderbirds outfits as
well. Yeah, I do like the little embroidered spaceships on the tits.
Lapels, dear.
And it's
lapels.
Interesting that to wake up Carol, Barbara is the one that sticks the thing on her boobs.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a boobs, dear.
On all medical.
You mentioned the Thunderbirds.
Hot
thing.
Yes, I saw your thing that you posted on Facebook.
Yeah, this was very likely influenced by one of the Anderson Super Marionation things, which had just been broadcast within the year before.
Yes. Okay. So, they talk about...
that was fun watching that again, because it was... I remember watching that show when I was a kid and loved it.
What, Thunderbirds? They're bringing it back.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Was it Thunderbirds or
it's Fireball XL5?
Fireball XL5. Yeah.
Hold on. Thunderbirds was always my favorite, and I'd be interested to see what the new Thunderbirds series is like.
Yeah, I like Thunderbirds.
As long as
it's better than the movie,
we'll be okay.
Well, I remember as a kid enjoying the stories, but finding the puppets a bit distracting. But the fact that the stories were so good, it sort of was able to override. So if they're able to produce. Because it's not a puppet, it's a computer animation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon it's going to be really good.
It does look interesting. I've seen the first picture of Lady Penelope and...
I wonder if... Because the chap who did the voice is still alive, isn't he? The Parker voice. I wonder if he's going to do the voices.
Yes, my lady.
It'd be brilliant if he does. Nice. They have to have some sort of crossover, don't they? Yeah. And the spaceships are still retro, which is really good
That's good. I like the fact they're retro.
But they've got to do the 5-4-3-2-1 business, haven't they? Otherwise it wouldn't be Thunderbirds. So anyway, have you noticed the TARDIS lock's a bit crooked? And it's, I think, just before he uses the fly swatter.
So it's easier to take off. Yeah, the fly swatter.
Irish fly swatter. Yeah.
They're a little clumsy.
Yeah.
So, I'm surprised they could just take it off like that.
Yeah, and of course...
And there was nothing behind it.
And Susan says that, so we're permanently locked out of the TARDIS because it's been taken out.
Yeah.
Permanently. As they said, if you move the lock, it's permanently. You never get back in. So, and he's going on about getting his lock back. But if they're permanently locked out, getting the lock back surely will not have any bearing on it at all.
And, they can't break in for some reason.
Yeah, the first of many narrative inconsistencies in this story.
There's lots of narrative inconsistencies that annoyed me in this story. Yes. I shall talk about this later.
Don't break in, you'll disturb the field dimensions inside.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are peaceful creatures, but we will kill you.
Yeah,
yeah right.
We're going to shout at you and put you in the dark.
He will die! No, he won't.
Without thinking about it first.
Seconds before they decide to leave, obviously the Sensorite managed to get the lock out of the TARDIS. How he would know how to do that with Time Lord technology, I don't know. I mean, is there a link between the Sensphere and the Ood Sphere and Time Lords? I don't know.
There must be.
And a lot of camera shaking going on, which Star Trek learned how to use. And of course, I wanted to refer to Star Trek because we've lost Leonard Nimoy. Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
I was really disappointed that not more people didn't, like me, post pictures of themselves with
Was it you, Matthew, who posted up the Let's Define It? It's like every geek in the universe has lost their favourite granddad.
Oh.
Yeah, it was somebody had posted it on Twitter and I just shared it, but it was kind of like, it made sense.
It
and,
does, yeah.
As I mentioned elsewhere, Nimoy does have a Doctor Who connection because he was signed to direct the Doctor Who feature film in the early 90s that was written by Denny Martin Flynn, who had co-written Star Trek VI, but for various reasons, including financing and the meddling of Philip Siegel, who was trying to get what became the Paul McGann TV movie off the ground, it never quite happened.
No, but it doesn't matter.
I considered posting the... I considered doing the bit where I would post a picture of myself, but I didn't want to break everyone's monitors with an ugly picture of myself.
No, you didn't need the picture, you just need the hand.
And secondly, I had an actual iGrok Spock button.
Try saying
that
quickly.
From the probably early 70s, maybe 71, 72. I'm using that on Facebook instead.
Yes, I can see that. That's your profile picture.
A green button, yeah.
Yes, I may have harped on about this before. We are slightly digressing, but I think it's worth it on some occasions to digress.
Of course, yes.
One of my earliest memories of a TV viewing when I was about 4 or 5, yes, I did apparently watch Doctor Who when Troughton was a doctor, but was sitting down in front of the telly, and just as an announcer on BBC One would say, and now on BBC One, another trip in the Starship Enterprise.
Yay.
Star Trek. Right, bedtime. Bedtime. And of course, that was my parents.
Watching Star Trek.
I started living with my grandparents when I was 4 and a half. And when I was living with my grandparents, I was allowed to watch Star Trek.
Hooray.
And my nan had one of these like swivelly chairs.
Oh, Oh, I like those, yes.
Oh, we had quite a small telly. It was black and white. We had a colour in 73, so it was black and white. Anyway, so I would sit watching Star Trek with a great big sort of drawing pad in front of me and just scribble adventures as they happened with the Enterprise and all other sort of imaginary things.
Very involved.
Yeah,
very
and that, this went on for ages. I'm going to film my cousin's wedding in Newcastle on next September, or this September. And last time I went there, I stayed in a house with my cousin, gingerbread cousin, who I forget the name of. And she was a massive Star Trek fan. And she had recorded the audio, because there was not much video in those days, of every Star Trek episode. And I was sort of...
I did that.
Yeah, then from then on, I would record the audio of the Star Trek episodes and just listen to them at bedtime.
I did that with Red Dwarf. Yeah, we used to do that with Red Dwarf. Press record, tiptoe away, come back.
So essentially...
Yeah, the problem with my recordings is they're all on reel-to-reel tape. Yeah, I don't have any way of playing the back.
Surely you can find someone who can transfer it or something. Yeah,
probably. Well, I don't need them because I've got the DVDs.
That's true, I know. Keep them, though.
I had the whole set of photo novels, and I was always hoping they were going to bring out more. So I had lots and lots of stuff. There wasn't much memorabilia available in those days. So that was for a good 11 years before I became a Doctor Who fan rather than just a Doctor Who viewer. Mm. So, yes, Star Trek's been in my life a lot longer than Doctor Who.
I was a Star Trek fan first as well.
Mm. Same here.
I was a Leonard Nimoy and Spock fan. And still am.
I can't really tell because my dad was watching both Star Trek and Doctor Who and I was allowed to watch both, so... I was a fan before I realised it, I think, you know, because it's like, oh, it's Star Trek time, it's Doctor Who time.
And of course,
time,
the scene that sticks in my mind is the death scene in Star Trek.
Amazing.
And then at the beginning of Search for Spock,
Wrath of Khan.
When that scene then zooms in really slowly.
Yeah.
Some fantastic stuff.
Love it.
Spock was probably the best sci-fi character of all time.
Best movie of all.
Even better than the Doctor, I'm afraid. Sorry, everybody! Right. He was. He was just... so consistent, so brilliant, and the fact that they had to bring him back for the new Star Trek thing rather illustrates that. Anyway, back to the story.
She's just come up appropriately.
We didn't miss much.
They send the girls into the dark tunnels to look for John.
Go get some water. They go to look for water.
But no, they knew John was in there, didn't they?
No, I don't think they did. There wasn't any. They alluded to John, but they didn't say, "Oh, he's in those tunnels. Watch out." Okay. They just quite casually send him off. Oh yeah, the water's down.
And then they get trapped with a madman, and the madness is rather well portrayed by the actor who plays John.
Well, it drove me crazy when they're going there. The water, it's off to the right and down there, and it's big label, water. where?
I've just paused episode 1 at 90 minutes and 14 seconds, where Barbara is cuddling Susan in a typical Barbara cuddling scared Susan sort of way.
But Susan didn't stay scared as long as she usually does in this episode.
She's pretty strong in this one.
Yes.
Stronger than she normally is.
She's still, her automatic reaction is to sort of go to Barbara for a cuddle or lean into someone. Yeah. But she's less time there and she's not screaming so loud.
Well, anyway, on the control panel.
I love
panel,
the control panel.
Or the spaceship. There are these three great big massive, they must be valves, I suppose. It's lovely to think that spaceships in the distant future would have valves as a major component, wouldn't it?
I like the sensor right hanging out the window.
For furniture.
Oh, that's for Micah.
For Americans, the word is tubes.
Tubes, yes.
Oh, for us, the tube is the actual TV screen itself.
That is, yeah. The tube.
As in YouTube.
YouTube and The Tube, the
program.
That must
be YouTube,
must
have originally been a British company before Google nicked it. I mean, bought it.
Might be. Or just a retro word.
Retro word.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so, there's a lot of... Oh, yeah.
I love the sensor right
sort of
casually
peering
in through the window.
How does he breathe out there?
He's just stood still as well.
Is there some sort of force field around the ship?
It must be. No, he doesn't
need to breathe. It's like with Fireball XL5. Maybe he took oxygen pills.
Oh, that's going to do it.
Yeah, there you go.
Or maybe it's an oxygen bubble.
Yeah, that's true. There's an oxygen bubble around the ship or something, yeah. They never allude to it.
Or maybe he's going to take a cricket ball out there and
toss it back.
Just have a helmet on without any suit, yeah.
That looks great visually but makes no sense whatsoever.
The other thing that didn't make no sense whatsoever, one of the things that didn't make no sense whatsoever was this, the sensorites have got their pupils permanently
Dilated. Yes, yeah. Opposite of cats.
Their eyes, for God's sake. And, yeah, what was the other thing that they, in relation to... Oh, they didn't like loud noises, yet they were quite happy to shout at each other.
Yes.
And he goes up and bangs the table.
You've done that! Yeah. You've done this!
Bangs the table to scare his other Sensorite right next to... In exactly the same distance, and that didn't scare him. I mean, it's just silly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You still have to get... The trouble is they have to... do that to because the masks wouldn't allow any expression or anything like that. I mean, these days they'd probably be completely quiet and we'd obviously hear the voiceover between them and things like that. But yeah, there was... I love their beards going up over their face. I thought that was all right.
I also like
these days they'd look like Ood.
They would,
yes.
I also like the idea that the reason why John went mad is because he got so excited about finding the ore on the planet and that he... His mind opens.
I wrote it down several ways because everybody couldn't say it properly.
Okay.
Master?
Yes.
Since you've been to the Doctor Who exhibits through the years and the experience, do they have any of the Sensorite masks on display?
I don't remember seeing
any. I wonder what one really looks like.
That would
I
be
don't
cool.
think they exist anymore.
I like the ears, the really extended sort of noddies, elves
they're
ears.
Okay for the time. I would ask, because we've got Matthew, we've got Mary, and we've got Kirby, who have been to Doctor Who conventions where cosplay is quite a big thing. Has anybody been to a, have you seen any Sensorites?
Have you seen any Sensorites?
No. I've seen two or three Ood, but I have never seen anybody tackle a Sensorite.
Well, there you go. I'm going to a convention at the end of August, so
well,
I'll try and get a Sensorite mask together.
That'd be original, wouldn't it?
Who's that? Yes. Trying to interview someone with it on.
When you Google Sensorite cosplay, there's no one's done it.
Well, there you go. That's something for somebody to think of, isn't it?
Wow.
I would imagine it's quite difficult to replicate that particular.
Unmined territory.
What did you say, Mary? Sorry?
I said unmined territory.
Unmined territory.
Very good use of wording, considering they were mining this.
Yeah. I want to mine the blip blip
Anyway, right. So.
I like the way they explain it, though, because was it quite a recently discovered thing for steel? Because, there was a whole period.
They were
trying to refine the process.
I'm reading the Facebook article about it at the moment, and it looks like it was first discovered in the 19th century, but it wasn't until just a few decades before this episode was being written, let alone made, that they were actually able to kind of synthesize it, as it were, to actually make it work, because it's something that does not naturally occur as a metal, as an actual metallic substance.
It's interesting also that when Barbara and Ian decide to go back into the tunnels, they have to walk so slowly because the set's so small.
Oh, who fell over?
Somebody fell off. It's either that or a cat just jumped up on someone's desk or something. Are they all still there? Let's have a look.
Yes.
We could just do a roll call. You don't have to go and have a look on Skype.
Three of them. Is that right?
One, two, three.
Yeah, that's good. I've lost me. Oh, there it is.
Mask is your roll call. Sound off now.
So there's lots of wandering around corridors, the same corridors over and over again, very slowly.
I like the fact the Doctor alludes to the fact quite casually, oh, yes, I can do, I have telepathy skills, and so Susan does too. You know.
Although later he makes comments about, I didn't know you could communicate with them like that.
Yeah, and then
in the last episode.
We'll take you back to when we go back to Gallifrey, we'll see if we can develop that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's also interesting looking back at this that one of the Sensorites on the spaceship is the security bloke. Oh, no, he's only got two stripes on his arm.
He's got two, and the lead one's got three stripes.
So anyway, there's a bit of threatening.
You've only proved you can lock doors. Yes. This is one of my favourite lines. Yes.
Then Susan starts communicating with them, and they decide.
I'm going to be a rebellious teenager and go off with.
I love that bit where he said, "You wouldn't come here at once," and she did.
Well, I would. I'd be scared to death.
Because they want to take Susan down to the planet, don't they? Because she's got telepathy.
They think she'd be the most easy to communicate with, who'd be sympathetic.
Yes. So imagine watching this on Saturday when you had to wait for us, and then you had to wait another week to see if the story was actually going to move on.
I made the mistake of starting it quite late at night, and I was tired out and just was like, and I started dozing off, and I was like, I can't do this. So then I watched it again during the day. I watched two, you know, like that, and I really was getting into it, really got into it. Okay. But
it's
I was
one
tired,
of the...
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, carry on.
Oh, this is one of the tapes, as we've talked about before, along with the Gunfighters, Ambassadors of Death, and some others, that I got on VHS at the end of 2007. I tried watching it for the first time in 2008, and I think I got to the end of the first episode and just got bored, because about a year later, when I stuck the tape back in the VCR, that was exactly where the tape was sitting.
This was the first time I managed to watch this one all the way through. I got to the end of episode one and got bored.
Oh. Yeah, I had somebody get me the DVD as a Christmas present because I knew I would never go get it otherwise. How sad is that?
Indeed. Anyway, right, so so eventually we meet the hierarchy.
The idea is collect them all.
There is, yes. Well, I've got them all, actually. The hierarchy of the Centralites, right, we got the Chief Elder. Is that the Chief Elder?
He's the first elder.
The second elder.
I called him the second
the
opinion
city
for a while. You're my second opinion. I write second opinion.
I thought that was a good title. Sorry.
I said I thought of him as the XO, you know?
Yeah.
One who carries out everything.
There's lots of inane conversation going on between these characters, isn't there? John is brought
The story sparkling dialogue.
Mm. I do like the disintegrator room.
Yeah.
That's hardly used, yet the engineers down there go, yes, I could do this. It's like he sits there all day, you know.
So John is going to be cured, and so he gets sort of...
But the way he says, tell them I said he is to be treated. And that sounded really quite threatening. If someone had said that in my presence, I would have been like, define treated.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Would you have known that was Peter Glaze?
No. I knew Peter Glaze was in it, but I don't know which one it is. Which one is supposed to be Peter Glaze then?
He's the evil one, city administrator.
City administrator.
I always wondered.
It's
quite a good part.
Administrator, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the few times. Yes, one of the few times he does something which is not really comedic.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. They give everybody some water, and Ian drinks his water.
If you don't mind, I'm going to very obviously drink this water that's not the same as everybody else's.
And the funny thing is, obviously, when he sort of recovers later, I'm sort of moving on a bit, he's talking a bit like that, and then he goes down into the aqueduct, and he's fine.
Yes.
It's exactly the same thing that happened in the Daleks.
Yes.
True.
It wears off, you know. It's not something that keeps you permanently disabled.
Yeah, obviously this antidote they were given acts quickly, doesn't it? So.
Yeah. I mean, even if they didn't give it to him as long any more water, it would have just worn off.
I mean, I'm drinking Highland Spring still spring water.
Yeah, it would be. We've got Scottish connections.
Of course I have.
One thing I find real interesting about that scene of Ian coughing is that the difference between the way they film things then and the way they do stuff now is that, you know, when he coughed a little bit at the beginning of his effect, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I assume, you know, Chesterton, you know, is just having like a little cough. It's nothing.
Because the way they keep going when they botch their lines and things like that.
Well, they're just rolling the film, you know, and they can't stop for him or anything.
No, when I realised that he said, oh, if you don't mind, I'm going to have a drink of this normal water now, I went, cue coughing to Tom, and it started. Well,
but I just assumed it was, you know, a fluffy kind of thing, you know, that they were filming through.
This was fun, and then
whereas nowadays, if somebody starts coughing in a scene, you know that it is significant because they can go back and take that out if they have to, you know, refilm it.
It doesn't feel so natural these days because people do go and like that throughout. Yeah. But
and
that,
you know it's deliberate because you know that it's not just, you know, the film rolling and they can't stop.
Which is what, you know, talking about things like that, which made Aardman animation so special because they included these sort of idiosyncrasies and
people in the background
made them more lifelike. Yeah. And then of course Aardman, that was incorporated into more, you know, sort of Disney type 3D animation and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's one of these episodes, I think it's episode 4 or 5, where you hear Hartnell coughing off screen because he was just having a coughing fit.
Now I noticed that.
Lots of line flops.
Anyway, John is made to wear a strange hat,
and have what looks like nail polish painted on it.
Yeah, and he quickly realised it's lots of sonic screwdriver strapped to it. I'm saying that kindly because it does actually do something slightly ruder than a sonic screwdriver. But yeah, he quickly realizes that there's an evil sensorite
just talk
among
next
them.
No one will believe you.
Yeah.
I love them. I thought they were brilliant.
The Doctor's very doctory when he sort of helps the scientists find a cure.
Another file of water, wasn't it? Yeah.
So they go through all the districts.
They have very great copper plate handwriting, I noticed, on that list of which districts they were doing.
Well, that's the TARDIS translator.
That that's true, that. Actually, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the TARDIS
of course,
translator.
Obviously. The city administrator then
has his sash taken off.
He takes the sash of the Second Elder.
That's what I meant. Yes, yeah, takes off his collar, puts on the sash.
For a species that's not supposed to be very violent, I thought he was quite violent.
Yeah.
Then he tries to do in Ian, but they manage to get some more poison antidote from somewhere else. The Doctor goes down to the viaduct.
Susan goes off and gets it. Yeah.
Why a duck? Why no goose?
He's going to die.
They say aqueduct and viaduct. They can't seem to make their mind up if it's the aqueduct or the viaduct.
True.
Because they say they're going to the aqueducts first, and then the last couple of episodes, they've gone down into the aqueduct, and I'm like, well, which one? Where are they?
Yes, I hadn't noticed that. Well done, Debbie. I should give you a starting point for the quiz for that. But I'm not.
No.
Obviously, the love between
it doesn't matter because it's going to be either Debbie or Matthew who's going to win.
Shut up, Kirby.
I have not watched this since right after Christmas when I got the DVD just to convince myself that the story was
doesn't matter.
Right, dull as I remember. Kirby's made his excuse.
So there's a good possibility I will do miserable on the quiz.
Well, I think we'll have a nice, enjoyable quiz and we'll see who wins.
Debbie's going to win. Right.
Debbie will win.
She's the only one that didn't come up with an excuse. Pardon?
How many pages of notes does she have?
That's a problem, though.
She can't read her own writing. I certainly can't read it.
No, I can't read
it. A spider's just wandered across the page.
Well, I'm left-handed.
His legs dipped in ink. So, anyway, where are we?
Again, that's about average.
The love between Carol and John
is
quite obvious.
I am going to publish them.
Actually, I prefer the mad John, because when he became sort of sane
lucid,
again.
Yeah, when he became lucid, he was all
creepy.
Neat and tidy again. He didn't have white
creepy.
Hair anymore.
And even posher.
And then he knew what was going on, because I'm the scientist from the ship.
Yeah.
You know.
And hair grows out with its natural colour really fast.
Yes, really quick, And he's all clean shaven.
So the real Second Elder gets done in by... When I originally watched this, I thought it was done in by the city administrator, but it's the city administrator's crony who ends up getting...
Yeah, bops him on the head.
Gets the blame for everything until the very end.
I like the sensorites wandering aimlessly around in the background.
Yeah. I noticed that. She was. Well, I thought there was one behind this...
There's one a couple of
behind
times
here, and I thought
past.
It was a painting for a bit, then
no,
it moved.
No, they've got one sensorite just wandering around. I love their feet.
And he's got the X Factor, by the way.
The X Factor.
With their feet, remember the one line that Susan says, that must have looked funny. Flip, flap.
That was very childish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, the Doctor...
he ran away.
Doctor gets a cloak. I've forgotten.
I love that. He gets a lovely cloak. Yeah. Bo Brummel always said, I look better in a cloak.
Did he? That's what he said to the Doctor, too. That's
strange. Yeah, I know. Well,
I've seen you in a cloak, actually. It's episode 6.
And so, what is this? Two stories after we just had a trial, and we have a little mini trial that lasts 5 minutes.
5 seconds.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Thank goodness they worked it out.
Oh, yeah. So,
Carol's inkwet note.
Yeah. With a smudge on it. Looks like it's written in permanent marker pen, isn't it? So, where's the smudge come from? Because I wouldn't imagine that the permanent marker pen dries
quite a bit
quicker than
that.
Yeah,
it's Sharpie being used by the looks of it, yeah.
Then they go back into the aqueduct, viaduct, whatever
John
you want to call it.
John goes to save Carol.
Yeah, and they're being chased by something, so Ian rolls up a map or something.
I'm
like
going to bop him on the head with the map.
Yes, that's going to happen.
No, it's the Doctor who does it. You know,
that's going to work.
Hit him on the head with the map.
And there's the very overacting spacemen that have been down there for years. With
you
their
have
beard.
Come at last.
Carrying their sort of very large pencils.
Yes. and the wigs from the 10,000.
And the other thing, Norman, when Susan was trying to communicate. She always had to put her fingers on the side of her head.
Well, it helped her focus.
No, it's just the obvious that she's doing some sort. I do that, obviously, back to Spock. He had to, when he was doing Mind Mills, had to put this hand on the side of the head. So that was just sort of a theatrical thing.
I like that because my other half really likes Enterprise. Where they sort of come up with the whole, you're not supposed to mind meld, it's like it's against their culture.
I should like Enterprise. I've never watched it all, actually. But
no, Tom, I got it all for him. He's really hooked on it.
Yeah. I haven't actually watched Enterprise either.
I did watch
Bits
and Bobs
of
it. It's
pretty good, actually, watching it. Yeah, sort of come into the
there's
house.
There's a very nice looking
on,
woman in it who plays the Vulcan. I seem to remember a shower scene.
Julianne Blalock or something?
Jolene Blalock,
yeah, Blalock.
I can never pronounce her name.
I've always loved Scott Bakula.
Yes, he's brilliant.
He was in Quantum Leap. Was my favorite, one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm actually writing an article about Enterprise for Warp Factor at the moment, so I'm actually rewatching it on Netflix.
Well, I have actually got the DVD.
You're writing an article for everything.
Yeah. Well, not everything. I would be very grateful if I could write an article for somebody who would actually pay me.
That would be nice.
Welcome to my world. So they find these. Overacting spaceman, and oh, now it's not going
to
move on.
Yeah, I need to read your Agent Carter article. I loved Agent Carter.
Agent Carter.
Oh, well,
this chap here, the leader of the Earthmen. He's the Earth equivalent to the what is now the Second Elder, who was the city administrator. Yeah.
Essentially.
Well, also the chief of the humans down there was supposed to be kind of like Ben Gunn from Treasure Island.
So they end up coercing
them. It's our money.
Coercing
them
out, and then that ends up with the death of the...
No, he didn't die. He doesn't die. Yeah, I could have killed him, but you didn't.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I must have drifted.
That shows that you're going to evolve.
That's probably when Deb was moaning about her hairdressing order when I was trying to watch this. Yeah, and then the only disappointing about episode 6, I'll put that in, is that we didn't see the Second Elder get his comeuppance. He just sort of talked about it. So that was a bit... that was it, right. So I managed to get through 6 episodes in 35 minutes. That's pretty good going, isn't it?
I don't like right at the very end when the Doctor takes umbrage with Ian and just says, you know...
Who's umbrage? And that, what, the teacher from...
Put you guys off at the very next stop. It's
played
like,
by Imelda Staunton.
Yeah, that's it. You're going to get off. I've had enough of you making sarcastic comments. I'm going to put you off. It's like, you're thinking, what's happened now? Has he found the way back or what?
Absolutely. Now, okay, I'll go first as per usual. Right, Sensorite. So as I have probably illustrated in the past, don't like it very much.
Yes.
However,
we've heard.
However. I didn't really mind it this time. I don't know, it must be because it's part of a long course of stories that we're watching consecutive episodes. So I didn't find it that laborious. And the fact that I was watching at it and looking at details to try and compile questions helped me find it a bit more interesting. But in doing that, it also outlined its inconsistencies and plot holes and things like that. So, I will reiterate that it's still one of my least favourite Doctor Who stories, simply because it's not very good at all. I think that, written by another writer, maybe, it could have been a bit better. I think there was a story there, but they just didn't quite...
Would have been better if it had been 4 episodes.
Yes.
Yes.
Or 3.
I'd go 2 or 3 episodes, maybe, 4 at a push. But there was a story there, but they just didn't quite edit it enough. Mm. No, this actual, like we say about the inconsistencies, the plot holes, the 1 minute they're a peaceful species, the next minute they're murdering each other. Things like that.
Fluffing.
Yeah. It's like each episode was written week by week instead of a whole story written, then edited by a script editor, and then refined. So that is probably why, for me, it's still one of the worst. Kirby?
It was okay. I went in expecting something really horrible.
Is it the first time you've watched it?
Excuse me?
Is it the first time you've watched it?
Yes, the way through.
Okay. Yeah.
I tried watching the first episode at least twice before and fell asleep by the end. But this time, making it all the way through, I didn't mind it. It's slow.
I didn't mind it. It's still rubbish, though.
It's slow. Yes, it could have used a couple of fewer episodes. But it was actually pretty good. I don't put it at the bottom at all. It's kind of just the middle. It's for me, it's in the lower half of
Hartnell stories, you mean? Or all stories?
Well, I haven't seen all the Hartnell stories yet. We're working on that.
So obviously he reckons it's better than Keys of Marinus.
Good grief. Keys of Marinus is one of the worst things ever.
I find this is better than Keys of Marinus.
I'm suddenly glad I missed the Keys of Marinus.
Yes. Is that it, Kirby?
Yeah.
Matthew?
Well, as I said earlier, it took me two attempts to watch this story on VHS back in 2008, 2009, and I found it long, dull, and boring.
They still have VHS in those days?
Well, some of us do. I actually still have two functioning VCRs, yes. So...
So do I.
Geeks Anonymous, we've all got one.
Well, we're not so anonymous now.
No, that's true.
I guess I'm not, because I don't have a VCR anymore.
Shame, Mary. Umbrella. Shame.
Carry on, Matthew, sorry.
I got the DVD back at Christmas. I put it on the list because it was one of the DVDs I knew I would probably never get around to buying because I'm not a huge fan of the story. And watching it again, God, that must have been about 2 months ago now, I still find it long, dull, and boring, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, sorry.
No, I didn't say finish. I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. My apologies. You can tell I haven't been on the podcast in a while. I tend to agree with what you said, Adam, that there's a story there. And I think edited down by a couple of episodes, maybe if David Whittaker had had the ability to go through and do a more thorough editing job on it to get rid of some of the inconsistencies, it might be a better story, but it's just the plotting of it, it is not very good. The pacing of it is horrible.
The plot is plotting.
That's one way of putting it. the dialogue in it's not very good. I mean, it's the example I used to open the episode with. I mean, that's a pretty fair example of the dialogue in this story. And the censorized themselves don't make a whole lot of sense. It's like... You managed to come to exist at this point, and the whole business is like everybody looks alike, and is it really that easy to overthrow the censorite government that you knock somebody upside the head and steal their sash? How have you never thought of that before?
How they never noticed that they all look alike?
They actually say that. Oh, I never thought of that before.
But it's, I would say of this first season of Hartnell Stories, I would argue this is by far the weakest, but I have a higher opinion of Keys of Marinus than apparently Kirby has, so...
Well, actually, when we did Keys of Marinus this most recent time, I liked it better.
Oh, well, that's good news.
Than the first time through. Didn't you join us for the first time we did it?
I was on the first time round, and I was hoping to be on the second time around. In fact, I actually watched the story, but... I can't remember what happened. I missed the episode, so...
You were probably asleep on a Sunday afternoon.
That's a good possibility.
I remember texting you at least once on a Sunday when we recorded and got nothing.
Yeah, I think I woke up 20 minutes after you guys had finished recording. It was kind of like, oh, well.
Okay.
But now that I have an iPhone again, I can record voice memos again, so I can at least send in feedback again.
Hey.
So.
Right. Okay. Is that it?
Right. Yes, that's it. It's not a very good story.
Okay. Mary?
It's okay.
Well, actually, I rather like this one.
Mary, quite contrary.
I liked it the first time I saw it, and I enjoyed it even more this time. I think because each episode, and I understand this is a weakness overall, but each episode would introduce a different, tense element that would be either enhanced by the end or resolved by the end. So when you take episode by episode, it's very interesting. But yeah, overall, it creates a lot of contradictions that don't make sense. And it just seemed ridiculous to me that they can't tell each other apart except for their sashes. But it just is beyond me why the first elder can't see the extreme personality change from his second elder to, you know, when the city administrator takes over that sash. I mean, he changes so much. How can he not notice that? But apparently he doesn't.
Well, they resolve that quickly, don't they, by identifying that the original second elder has been killed, and so the city administrator
eventually.
But yeah, for a while you're there going, I thought these guys could read minds.
Yeah, there's also the fact that when it's revealed that he's died, that Ian and Susan, oh, there's a perfect replacement, might be to get him on our side.
Yes.
And you think, you idiots.
Just the fact that this is not a historical already makes it, you know, ranks it a little higher for me, because I'm not a fan of the historicals. And I like the Censorites as a race much better than I like the Vords from last season.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was ridiculous. Mm. But the Censorites are a little more interesting. And I was amused with Carol, you know, bringing up the fact that, hey, you're all alike. You know, oh, well, we never thought about that. Yeah, I too wonder, how did they succeed in existing this long? I think there's an interesting story here, and that's what kept me going. But it's so ham-fistedly done, you know, the super dark set so that you don't notice it's the same set over and over. People enter and leave like it's a stage, you know, nobody's in a hurry. So nobody like rushes on or rushes off, you know, they probably would hit a wall if they did. So everybody kind of enters and waits for their chance to talk. And the sound in it, it's that overarching sting every time something important happens. You know, that
dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, but they also had the old Star Trek sting, don't they?
Yeah, notice that one.
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, you know, you can always tell what the important thing is that somebody says because it's followed by one of these, you know, heavy-handed musical stings.
After prompt, isn't it? Remember this bit?
yeah, exactly. So I was kind of amused by it, but it was also interesting episode. So I wouldn't necessarily eliminate any of the episodes. So yeah, I liked it. I liked it pretty much, actually.
There you go. Shut up, Star.
Sorry.
Debbie.
I'm just winding her up in the corner, sorry. That's all right, Star. I liked this one. I did. I started out, as I said before, I don't know if we were recording when I said before, but I started out quite late at night and I just couldn't get into it. And then I decided, right, this time I'm going to watch two, stop, because I thought it's going to be one of those ones where I'm going to be struggling. And I ended up really enjoying that sort of the jump to the stories. Each night I did a different bit, and as Mary said, there's always something in each episode that sort of was a new menace, a new thing, a new theory. But yeah, it wasn't that. It was just the inconsistencies sort of I quite enjoy spotting those. So I was sort of being led on, going, oh well, they've just contradicted that. Oh well, they've just, yeah,
well.
And there was some good fluffs as well. And then I was so surprised that they hadn't re-recorded some scenes, because Susan fluffs like a complete line and then says it again. And it's like, well, you just, and there was such a good story. The whole somebody wants something that these peace loving people have got, so they're going to declare war.
Loving.
Yeah, exactly. Allegedly peace loving. Obviously, they weren't. But
no.
It was just, there's this huge story that could have been so important to how we believe and how our history has worked and things like that. But you just sort of got sidelined a bit. Even though that was the ultimate thing that the people in the viaduct, aqueduct, wherever they'd gone, had. We're staying behind to do, you know, to lay claim to this planet who cares about the people. You know, we want the minerals, we want this. And it's just, it was a reflection on history. But it just sort of kept getting brushed under the carpet because they were dealing with the then and now. And it does resonate with me with that. But I just felt that it could have been condensed. But overall, I did like it. It's not up there, but
I'm glad it's still
like
there to
it.
Watch.
Yes.
Still rubbish. So thank you very much, Debbie. Right, we've got some feedback, and I haven't got my page open.
While he's doing that, can I?
Open either. Yes.
Just to kind of balance out what I was saying earlier, the DVD is well worth getting a hold of this, if only for a wonderful documentary on it called "Looking for Peter," which is hosted by. Is it family member of the show now, Toby Haydock?
Yeah, he's like patron of the show. Really.
Patron of the show, Chubby Hato. We're looking at the enigmatic Peter R. Newman, who wrote this story, who this is one of only a couple of writing credits he ever had. Okay. So it's a very, very good documentary, well worth seeking out. And also, just to make my obligatory Big Finish reference for the episode.
Oh, yes, yes.
The Big Finish companion chronicle story, Transit of Venus, is set directly after this. And in fact, that story opens with the final scene from this one. And then manages to also segue into Reign of Terror as well, which you guys will be reviewing next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reign of Terror next week.
Oh, another historical.
That's what it was at the beginning.
And we have less than a week to watch that.
I know. I'm going to have to be very good and watch an episode or two episodes sometimes per day.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch two episodes a day.
I've been quite good this week.
I'm going to do that. I've been good. Tom's working.
I'm going to watch one this morning.
When will you guys be recording the Reign of Terror episode?
Sunday.
I might actually be able to join. So the question is, do I dig out my VHS or do I go out and buy the DVD so I can watch it?
We'll be watching the reconstruction with the what they call it, the cartoon thing.
Oh yes. Are you alright with that, everybody?
Help people out if they haven't.
Matthew,
this is on Daily Motion.
How is
it? It changes next Sunday. So
time changes, yeah.
So it'll be 3:00 for you if you join us.
Yeah, he doesn't mind. All the posters there. Adam and Debbie Pearson. I wonder if there's anything useful. So yeah, it's probably an invite to something. Yes. Oh yes, we're gonna do feedback, weren't we? I completely lost train of thought then. Right, let's see
Doctor
if I can
Who
find
what is
right.
with that dog?
She wants to get out.
No, she wants to go on my lap.
Oh well, put her on. Oh, you can't. You won't be able to hold the iPad.
No, my iPad.
Right. As I was saying, I've got to turn the speaker up for this particular function. We have some 4DO feedback, which... shut up!
Well, good evening, 20 Megabytes. I'm going to hear it's 9:36 on Monday night, and I'm sitting here empty-handed. Oh. Yeah, it's Monday, so, I don't drink in the week. Okay. You might be supposed to hear that, but actually I don't. Not till Friday, won't have another one. Anyway, I just finished watching Sensorites. God, that was painful. It really was very, very painful. It's difficult really to find anything good to say about the story. You know, I really did struggle. You know, looking back at my notes and finding anything I can... It's so slow moving. I mean, that really was... just so very little happened. And you've got a pathetic bunch of... aliens who really are just so feeble, they can't see, they're threatened by noise. You know, okay, they're quite good thinking, but really, that's about it. But, you know, there's nothing to them. And you've got people like the chief administrator, he's thick as two short planks, isn't he? And, you know, thinks he can really fool the First Elder, and you just have to wonder what their society is like. It just is a, yeah... they were able to destroy the lock of the TARDIS with basically a potato masher, weren't they? You know, really what it was, wasn't it? But
some whiskey thing.
Oh dear, I'm sorry, I just didn't enjoy it at all. There was just nothing in the story. It just each episode just contained perhaps one or two moments, and that was really about it. I just didn't enjoy it. Oh, I just really. Yeah. Didn't enjoy it. Oh, there's some silly moments in there. We had Cheston. That's a new one
Cheston,
as well.
Yeah.
And also, the TARDIS only has one door. I'm sure that later on the door, the TARDIS does have like an escape exit, doesn't it? And I like the way the doctor says he's not going to medley. Well, he's not going to sing. Well, thank goodness for that. But, you got the crew, you got John and Carol and Richmond, they were all again. They're pretty feeble people, weren't they? Didn't really put much of an effort, put up a show. And you got the crew they found later. We've gone completely bananas, completely bonkers, and they're going to take them to work. What's going to happen to them? You do have to worry about a sensorized society, you know, what they actually would do and what they actually achieve. And you can really think it's very little, you know, because they are so... Excuse me, a bit tired.
Yeah.
They're so feeble mentally. They're so... There's nothing to them. And what do they actually do? They're just really, really You don't worry about that. So, yeah, won't really join you because you're obviously doing this tomorrow morning. Some of us have to go to work.
That's what she said.
So that's my bit. And yes, I also think the winner of the Ian Kirk Prize for Ian Kirk impersonation competition is Ian Kirk, despite what Billy said very nicely. Where did you find that picture from, Billy? That's quite an old picture. There's a lovely dawn on me. Anyway, I'm going to go and have a shower and fall into bed. So, be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks, Master. Andy.
Yes?
Master, be sure. Oh, good grief. I'm echoing.
Yeah, well, carry on echoing. We'll
echo.
Be sure when you play back Ian's that you play back the second one.
I know.
He's already got it set up.
Good grief.
Yeah, he's already set it up.
I've got my new system on the Mac. It obviously isn't any quicker than the old one.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Or am I Jeff Waddle? It's hard to tell the difference. Katie Manning was a guest star on Casualty recently. Her character had insects on her back, reminding me of Turn Left. 50 Shades of Grey takes a lot of beating. The Censorites by Peter Newman. Who do they remind me of? It was Jerry Anderson puppet series called Fireball XL5. Kirby pointed out that one of their stories, made before Doctor Who, had a mysterious planet with mind-control aliens. It was the same, except the puppets had more realistic hair than Barbara.
He's got to think about that.
Maintain a brave
feeling all right, Ian?
There's something wrong with Robert.
It is probably his Skype connection. It happens to Kirby all the time.
Hey.
I think this is the first time it is said that the Doctor and Susan are not from Earth.
Mm-hmm.
No.
The Censorites have unusual eyes. If the Doctor turns down the lighting level, then the BBC can use cheaper scenery.
Exactly.
I have to be at the dentist this morning, so bye for now.
That was great.
Yeah, thanks, Ian.
Rapt ending there.
That was great.
But nevertheless, fantastic.
It's mentioned in Unearthly Child.
But they really go for it in this episode. Yeah, they say it so many times.
Re-emphasise. It's probably for the newer viewers who didn't join Doctor at the beginning.
Or who
perhaps
didn't pay attention in the first episode. Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I guess, why you also had that big whole recap of, this is what we've been doing for the last...
It did feel like it had been...
And Susan talks about it in... Marco Polo, too, when she talks with King Joe.
Hello.
Hello.
Indeed. Right, it's now time for this week's edition of...
Hang on, when we got
what?
That guy's feedback, the one that I said that I'd read. To
I didn't
Mark.
Know. I didn't see this feedback.
I was showing it to you.
You were not. I thought you were showing me some pornography. I thought it was very inappropriate. Such a thing.
I pointed it out to you, and you said, I know, I've got the email, so I put
it away. I thought I was talking about Ian
Kirk. No, it wasn't Ian Kirk. So I was pointing out.
No, the other... It's another Ian.
Ian Burge. Is it Burge?
My apology, apparently. I was trying to get that word. Carry on, then.
Okay.
It's not time for this week's edition of... carry on.
I love the Censorites. I cannot believe it's got such a bad rap from fandom.
Uh-oh.
5 years before man went to the moon, Doctor Who was imagining that humans might just be a bit naughty when they go into space, e.g. possibly stealing alien minerals and poisoning harmless life forms. It's clearly a critique of the colonial period, which had just ended by the 60s, and a comment on the new multicultural Britain, which was emerging in 1964. After all, there is no difference between humans meeting new strange alien life forms and a new wave of immigration, which had begun to change white British society in 1948, and was well underway creating modern Britain in 1964. Apart from the excellent and imaginative story, The Censorites is a really good made piece of TV on a tiny budget. The simplistic costumes and masks do work. Yes, they do. They're not as over the top as many sci-fi TV alien designs, and still remains creepily effective. The simple sets easily create a feeling of an alien culture, and the designs are often copied in later Who, the Dominators being one example. On a downside, I will admit that the acting of the astronauts is not great, but nothing is perfect. The Censorites is classic, which once watched with an open mind will easily become a much admired favourite, and Frank Skinner was watching it when he got the call to be in Doctor Who.
Well, thank you very much,
thank
Ian.
Thank you, Ian. There you go.
Any other ones?
No, that's all I could see at the moment. Just having a quick flick through. Did
you
spot any?
Keep sending it in. Did I spot
Kirby,
any?
Kirby, did you spot any?
No.
Okay.
Well, wait. Let me double check.
I've just gone through, and I can't see anyone else. No. Okay. So apologies if I haven't spotted it.
Yes, I didn't spot it because the email address is 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
Well, we said put it on Facebook as well.
Yes, so you'll be keeping a lookout.
I'm keeping a lookout.
Debbie's keeping a lookout for any feedback we might get on Facebook, so please join the Facebook group.
Yes? I normally put that we've started recording, but for some reason my brilliant pictures of the censor rights arguing with each other didn't decide to come on to my iPad.
Okay. So well, now it's time for this week's edition, if you won't get this one.
Okay.
And the first question goes to Matthew, and this is, why couldn't they view the scanner at the beginning of the story?
I know. I know.
I know you know.
No idea whatsoever.
All right, go on in, Debbie.
Is it covered with static?
It's exactly the answer. All right, Debbie, your question.
Oh, hello.
What? You? Oh, no, she's going to get this one.
Probably not.
Right, actually.
It's the really obvious one.
What's the next question I'm going to ask for a bonus point?
Something about what the noise is outside.
That is a... so the question I'm actually going to ask you is this. What did Henry VIII throw at the doctor?
A parson's nose.
Yeah, he did. Right, Kirby.
The parson's nose outward. if you hit them with that, they'll go to the bottom.
Okay. Kirby.
It's a goon show master.
I recognised it.
What time did the watches of the spaceship crew appear to stop at?
I don't know.
I know.
Debbie knows.
Is it 3 p.m?
This is. Mary.
Yes.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared.
Who woke up first of the spaceship people?
Maitland, right?
Yay.
Correct. Right. Back round to Matthew. How is
He's
the
gone.
Earth looking?
I know.
The Ooh. Earth?
Yeah, how is the Earth looking? As I think that's what Ian asked.
Ian
Maitland.
Asked Maitland,
yes. Yes, I know. Because I've seen this the first episode 3 times.
Ooh.
Okay,
okay, this next time I come on the show, I'm going to make sure to watch the story again beforehand. No bloody idea.
No. Kirby?
Too much air traffic.
Is the correct answer.
Ding.
Right. Debbie.
Ding.
Debbie.
Yes.
Right. What is the whole lower half of England called now?
Central City.
Is the correct answer.
Oh, that was really cool.
Kirby.
Stop giving her all the easy ones.
Yeah.
Kirby.
Yes.
Master.
Why can't they break down the TARDIS door, as in the script?
I don't remember.
It's a bit of a shame, because it's a... Anybody?
I don't want to say I do, because it's getting a bit boring.
Okay, no one then.
It's disturbed field dimensions inside.
Here's the correct answer. Right.
We know that you're going to win. Don't worry about
it.
Mary.
I enjoy this.
She has to use her, 20 to 50 pages of notes here. So.
Yeah. Yes, but it can be a disability, because I'm busy flicking through
Mary.
For something.
Yeah. Right. Where did the power for the cutter come from? Remember, they had the cutter to open the doorway. Where did the power come from?
Electromagnetics.
Is correctomagnetic.
Yeah,
correctomagnetics.
Correcto.
Yes. And let's have a score update. That should be fun. Right. In last place, surprisingly, former champion of the world of Doctor Who quizzing, Matthew with no points. In third place,
no.
With 1 point, it's apparently former Smarty Pants Kirby. In second place with 4 points, Mary. And current Smarty Pants Debbie in the lead with 7 points. And this is
Give
Matthew's.
Me a more interesting story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew's go.
Notes do run dry.
Right then, Matthew. Right. Who did John think Barbara was like when he first met her?
Carol?
It was news coming through on my phone. I'm not going to relay that. Yeah, sorry. What was your answer, Matthew?
Carol?
Nope. Anybody? Oh, well, I'm going to get a... Am I going to defeat you? Hurrah! The answer is... his sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, right. Debbie.
Yes.
What was the title of episode 2?
The Unwilling Warriors. Why am I getting the easy ones?
Yes.
Random. Right. Kirby.
Master.
What planet did Susan say that she and the Doctor once landed on?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh.
Can Anybody? I guess?
Yes, yeah. You can.
Is it Esto?
It was Esto.
Right. I don't remember that at all.
It's Mary's go.
It's where the plants use thought transference.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I think they did a whole bit of audio about that.
Right, Mary. How old was John?
Whoa. Don't know.
Oh. Oh.
Have a guess.
30.
Correct.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's 30.
Right, Matthew.
I probably don't know it, but go ahead.
What sound of defeat in his voice. What was John's job on the spaceship?
Mineralogist?
Is the correct answer.
Oh, holy yay. Crap, I have points.
Debbie.
Yes.
What had John discovered that made him so excited that his mind broadcasted it to the sensorites?
Molybdenum.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
What had John discovered? That's on that one. Sorry. What did the Doctor say he would do if the sensorites tried to harm him?
Shout.
Turn the light off.
No, the answer was fight them. Mary.
Would have been a more interesting story.
Right. Mary?
Yeah?
You better get this one right. Right. What word appears in the title of episode 2 and in my first novel?
Unwilling.
I'm going to give you a bonus point for that. Yeah. Right, so the scores. In last place with 1 point, it's Kirby. In third place with 2 points, it's Matthew. In second place with 10 points, it's Mary. And in the lead with 11 points, it's Debbie. Right.
Oh, really?
Mary's going to have this one.
Well, she did like it. Right, where did I get up to? Right. This is Debbie. Matthew's question. Sorry, I do apologise. Matthew's question. I didn't even write the answer on that. Matthew, what were the sensorites going to do to the Doctor, Ian and Barbara just before the light was turned off?
I have no idea.
Anybody?
Oh. Want to stun with a hand ray?
Ooh, only just got in there, Debbie. That's the correct answer. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What shape was Shabra? Shabra's. What shape was Barbara's pendant? Where did I get the shit from? What shape was Barbara's pendant?
Oh, crikey. Circle?
Oh, my goodness.
That was a guess.
That was the correct answer.
Oh, okay.
If you had missed it, I happen to have it playing in the background. I see it. So.
Right then, Kirby.
Master.
What arrangement does Ian not like when they get down to the planet? I think it's when they got down to the planet. Mm. They make some sort of arrangement to do stuff, and he doesn't like the arrangement. I think you're going to get this one wrong, because I'm clever.
I don't know.
Okay, anybody?
Leave it having left Barbara on the ship?
No, in the script, it's splitting up. He doesn't like splitting up, which is what they tend to do every time.
That's technically what Matthew said.
All right. Yes. Debbie says to give Matthew a point. Yes. He may live to regret that.
I kind of have my doubts about that one.
Right, whose go was that last? Was it Kirby? So therefore, this must be Mary's. How long ago did the previous humans arrive at the Sense Sphere? How long ago?
Oh, I know that one.
I think I know.
Something like 400 years?
No.
Yeah.
Debbie?
10 years.
Here's the correct answer.
Mm.
Right, Matthew.
Yes, Adam.
How was the ruler of the Sensphere identified?
A sash?
Easy. Yeah, but what type of sash?
I don't bloody know. What's the difference between one sash and another?
It's a number of them, possibly.
Yes, me.
Go on then, Kirby.
He had two sashes.
He had the X Factor.
I'm starting to think there's a correlation between points and knowledge about of and how in enjoyment of the particular story.
Possibly, yes. Right, Debbie.
No, because I'm at the very bottom.
Very sad.
Points.
Debbie has diagrams of each sensorite in her notes.
I really do.
Pictures, please.
Right, then, yeah, we'll have to do that.
Pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, not now, though. Maybe at the end of the quiz. Right, Debbie, this must be your go.
Okay.
Right. What are the TARDIS crew forbidden to talk about? Never get this one.
TARDIS crew forbidden to talk about.
Yes.
The fact they can travel through time?
Wrong.
Anybody?
Do you mean forbidden to talk about the sensorites are telling them this?
The sensorites told them that they're not allowed to talk about a specific subject.
Militarism?
You don't know.
Talking to the
lower
the
cost.
People.
Yeah,
as you interrupted, I'll give that point to Kirby.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yes, it's talking to the lower classes, yes.
Cast.
Mm.
That.
They spent quite a while defining them and how everyone has their place. Everything is happy.
No, they did not rather hammer at home, as per usual. Right then, Mary.
Yes?
What was the title of episode 4 of The Sensorites?
Oh.
Notes as well. There we go.
I actually know this one. Shockingly.
Pardon, Mary?
She said A Race Against Death.
A Race Against Death.
There would be the correct answer. Right, the scores. For the next round. In last place, joint.
Me.
Matthew and Kirby with 3 points each. And in second place, with 12 points, is Mary. And then the lead with 15 points is Debbie. And this is Matthew's question.
Matthew, you better get it right so I can be at the very bottom.
What does the Doctor first ask for after Ian collapses?
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Give it to Kirby.
So it's that and the Kirby there for it.
Salt.
Yes.
Gonna make you sick.
Yes, I would have given you a bonus point if you said sodium chloride, which was actually what's in the script. But yes, that's fine. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What's on there now?
Salty water.
Oh, yeah. All right. Who puts the idea of changing identity to the city administrator?
Carol.
Correct. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What poison did the Doctor believe to be in the water?
Belladonna.
No, I know. Oh.
Belladonna. Go on then, Mary.
Wait, that's it.
It is what it is, but later, you're referring to earlier when he's theorising about it.
Atropine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give
it to Mary. Same thing.
Well, that's only what's in the script. Atropine.
Are there different varieties of that sort of poison, not just belladonna?
Deadly nightshade is Atropa belladonna.
Right,
so why can you say what it said in the script, just to be a bit more...
Because I'm not reading the script.
That's not the point, is it? It's the script
I put down atropine poisoning, and then it's about two episodes later.
Well,
it's
I'm going to stick to my guns on that one.
Right, belladonna,
yeah. That's right. So therefore, it's Mary's go. What district was the palace in?
That's what district the poison was in.
No, the palace. Shut up, Scott.
I know.
This is in, I'll make a guess. It's in 3.
Right, Debbie?
10.
Correct.
The palace is District 10.
Yeah. Right. Mary. Matthew. Matthew, what was the antidote to the poison?
Yes, I know you know, Star.
Shut up.
Stop reading over my shoulder.
Oh, I can't remember.
That's a shame. Anybody? Who said I know first?
Me.
Go on then, Kirby.
Caffeine citrate.
Oh, so you can say that one word for word, but when it comes to the other one... Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What did the sensorite give Ian and Susan... Start that again. Mm. What did the sensorite give Ian and Susan when they went to rescue the Doctor? That's the name of the thingy.
when they went to rescue the Doctor.
Yes, they gave him something, with them something, when they went to rescue the Doctor. Here you are. This is a...
I don't know, is it an up-to-date map or something? Or no.
Anybody?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I remember now.
It's radio electric light was the answer to that question. Right, Kirby.
I've just read it.
What an absurd idea that is. Kirby, what plants did the Doctor find in the caves?
That's the nightshade.
Is the correct answer.
Belladonna.
Belladonna. Yes.
At least he said it again as the script said it here, but on previously, well, no. Yes.
And you see, I actually went out and did the research for all that because I wanted to see if the symptoms were actually what they were, which they were.
They are, yeah, they are.
Yeah. Mary.
Yeah.
How is the senior warrior identified?
Oh, I drew that as well.
I know you did.
He's got those stripes on his sleeve.
That'll do. Specifically three stripes.
Three stripes.
Yeah, we work with atropine all the time in the hospital, so...
Hope you're careful with it. Right, so in last place, 3 points with Matthew, or the other way around, Matthew with 3 points. In third place with 7 points, Kirby. In second place with 15 points, Mary. And then the lead with 18 points, Debbie. And this is Matthew's question.
Oh, he's fainted.
Right then. Who once said the doctor always looked better in a cloak?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Mentioned a little while ago, but I can't remember what it was.
Go on then, Debbie.
Bo Brummel. Because he said I look good in the cloak too.
He said Isla looked good in the cloak.
Oh, yeah. Sure, she looks lovely in the cloak.
Right, Debbie.
Yes. She looks lovely in everything that we're
What did the Doctor, Ian and Susan go after the city administrator officially... Where did the Doctor, Ian and Susan go after the city administrator officially became second elder? Where did they go?
They went to a hall.
Didn't they go to the aqueduct or whatever it was?
No, they went to see John.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Kirby.
Master.
What food did Carol long for on her return to Earth?
I know.
I don't know.
Oh, so it's a... And Mary?
Thick, juicy steak.
Exactly.
Not a juicy fruit.
Oh, I remember that now. Darn. Right,
Mary?
Yeah.
What were the sensorites going to do to the Doctor, Ian and Barbara, just before the light was turned off?
We've had that one.
No, we haven't.
We've had this question.
No, we haven't.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have.
It was the ray gun one, wasn't it?
How did that end up twice?
Because I got that earlier.
Right, forget that question. Sorry. Right, okay. Mary?
Yes?
What shape was Barbara's... What the bloody hell's going on here?
We're recycling questions here.
Hang on.
I got that one too.
Hang on. I think we've got a bit of... Oh, yeah, all right. I can move on there. Right. Mary?
Yes?
What was the Sensorites leader very proud of?
Ooh, I don't know.
I know.
William, Kirby?
The aqueduct.
Not the viaduct.
why no goose?
Why no goose? What are you on about?
Viaduct.
Viaduct. Oh, it's so funny. Viaduct.
Right, there's 4 questions left, so I better cover the scores in last place with 3 points. A very credible 3 points, Matthew. In third place with 8 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 16 points, it's Mary. And in the lead, probably not very assailable lead. 19 points.
Yeah,
Debbie.
It's all to play for.
Right, Matthew, last question for you is, what letters were on the shoulder flash that Ian pulled off?
You won't
get this one.
No, I'm not going to get this one.
I know.
Debbie knows.
Was it I-N-N-E-R?
No.
Ah!
Anybody?
N-E-E-R?
Correct.
I-N-E-E-R?
No, the first one you said, Kirby.
Okay.
Yes. Right. We did it wrong. Right. What's his name? Whose question was that? Oh, it's Debbie's question now.
Yep.
What colour is the night sky of Susan's home planet?
I got it right. I know. It's got to be that sort of burnt orange.
It's got to be the correct answer.
Yes.
Kirby.
Master?
What is Barbara's job, as Ian relayed to the aqueduct men as when they were first met them? He said, Barbara is...
Oh, yes, I know that one.
Don't know.
After he says, play it cool.
Go on then, Debbie.
Navigator.
Come out there, misery. Is the correct answer. I've really got a space on this piece of paper.
Play it cool.
Right. The last question for Kirby is... No, it's the last question for Mary, I beg your pardon, is... What is the second elder's punishment for being naughty and horrible?
Oh, he's going to be banished forever from the...
I'll give you a point for that.
The wastelands.
And a point for Debbie for that. No, that's you're banished to be on Crackerjack for 20 minutes.
Right. Wasn't Crackerjack already on?
Probably, yes. I don't know if he was on it, though. Right, so the final scores then, in last place with 3 points. Never thought I'd ever say this. Matthew.
Who won?
In third place with 9 points. Kirby in second place with 17 points. 17 points, Mary. And the winner with 23 points, it's Debbie.
Gosh, I'm... I've got to get out more.
Debbie's getting very excited, aren't you, Debbie?
I am a bit. Yes.
Because she's just looking at the Who Won website.
Whowon.co.uk.
Whowon.co.uk?
Yes, whowon.co.uk. They've got a smartphone-operated Dalek. You can control it via Bluetooth.
It's a strange...
I'm going to send it round the shop.
Master?
Yes?
I'm looking at this webpage, whowon.co.uk.
Whowon.co.uk.
There's this ad at the top.
It's
got the wrong email address on it. I know.
feedback@hotmail.co.uk. Mm. Really?
Yes, I know. I can't help that. Well,
I'm in Ride in a couple of weeks.
Yes, you can help that.
Oh, God, I haven't got time to faff around and things like that.
I'll let him know.
Well, he does know. I've told him.
Well, I'll go in and tell him.
Well, let him know again.
He hasn't got the email address.
Oh,
smartphone operated Dalek. Really cool. It's strange dimensions on it, though.
Is it right
down? It's
one of
the big fat ones that look,
burgundy, but look by the looks of that.
I
don't remember
like
there
even
being
more
a burgundy,
now.
Burgundy Dalek.
A prime.
Isn't
something.
This place just like a couple of blocks down the road?
Apparently so, according to you. Obviously, you've been to the Isle of Wight many a time, so you must know. Right, so yes, that's essentially it for whowon.co.uk. Do, which means I can actually get around to looking at, if I can get another
a hairdressing order form.
Yeah. Doctor News. Oh, I spelled doctor wrong. Doctor.
Chiston.
Yeah. Hopefully, will be time. I want to hope they do mention Leonard Nimoy on the DoctorWhoNews.net website. I think he deserves a bit of a mention. Probably won't get one, though. Oh, why is it not going down to the bottom of the page? Shut up, Star, you stupid dog. Right. Oh, where are we going up to? Right. When was the last bit of news we reported? Nobody's answering. Well, that's going back to February. That's well too long ago. We have to record. Somebody's tapping very hard on their keyboard.
Yeah. What's that noise?
Someone's typing.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought I had the mic muted.
Veteran Doctor Who designer Barry Newbury has died at the age of 88. Don't remember reporting on that last week.
No, we didn't.
No.
He says his contribution ranged from the very first story, Unearthly Child, right the way through to The Awakening in 1984. So that is amazing, design on The Awakening. British Film Institute has announced that a tribute to honour Verity Lambert, Doctor Who's first producer. I'm guessing through Joanna Lumley, who played the Doctor very briefly in a comic relief special.
Yes.
And Linda Plant. 10th Doctor comic thing is coming out. 11th Doctor issue 9 comics. And we've got some umbrellas. Apparently official Doctor Who umbrellas have been released. It says our best sellings. It's a press release from, who is it from? Not from Lavarzi, is it?
I think it's Lavarzi.
Oh, it is? I don't see any mentions of Lavarzi. Can you see
it's Lavarzi? It's Lavarzi. Definitely.
Okay, well, so our best-selling 4th Doctor scarf, it must be.
Yes. I do like
keeps
that.
The winds at bay.
I really do like the Broly. Good, yeah. That's really
it's
cool.
It's a TARDIS Broly with Doctor around the middle bit.
Well, I might have to get that then.
Yeah. I've marked my umbrella by using it to open the door.
Oh.
So somebody's going to find me a new sixth Doctor umbrella. I blame you.
Six. Stop winding up Matthew on purpose.
They should bring out
he's
a
not been
doctor.
To bed yet.
The sixth Doctor did have a body, so they should bring out one. I'll tell
Andrew Cartmell on you.
Will you? Okay, and now our new Doctor umbrellas will keep you dry weather on Mariner Sea, sheltering from the siege of Trenzalore or under the Earth's overcast skies. All of time and space, everywhere and anywhere, every star that ever was. Where do you want to start? That's automatically open, as that one does. My seventh Doctor one. Just press a button and pops out. And it comes.
Did you just say sixth Doctor again?
That took a long time.
He said seventh that time.
Yeah, and the police box. I see, it's like a mini umbrella that the other. Yeah.
35 pounds?
Yeah, mine was.
Oh, what? No, I'm not spending that much on a Broly.
35 pounds?
No, British weather is not good for keeping a Broly for longer than a year.
Isn't that something like $70?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, but.
Just under.
It's an exclusive product, isn't it?
No, it's $53.78.
76 cents.
The pound's not doing much against the dollar at the moment, is it?
But anyway. Yes,
that's
good stuff.
I'm not going to get one. Not at that price.
No, I don't think I'm going to.
That concludes the news. Yeah.
That's
a week's food.
I'm
just going to have a look at the very unlikely possibility. We've had new members to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group since I last mentioned the group.
417 members.
Which is what it was last time. Right, let's have a look.
In other unrelated news, Big Finish released the Dark Eyes 4 box set with Paul McGann yesterday.
Yes, I saw that.
Yes, Someone's been doing a countdown.
Yeah.
Well, Big Finish have been doing a countdown. I've just been sharing.
I really do.
Well, what about the Big Finish thing? Anyway, so next week we're going to be looking at the Reign of Terror.
Reign of Terror.
So better start watching it.
Or
in
is
a minute,
it the Thunderstorm of Terror?
Ba-dum-ching.
Very amusing, isn't it? Yeah. And we'll be recording on Sunday, unless something happens that prevents me from recording on Sunday.
I'll be meeting you by Skype then.
Yes. And then we've got another Sunday, I think, the week afterwards.
Yes,
there's
something
diary.
Going on, isn't
there? Yeah, I'm 6:30 apparently. I finish work at 5, so I'll come home, throw some food down my neck and come in here. And I presume you'll be coming in here with us.
If I'm allowed,
am I keeping you awake?
No, sorry.
Now we're the ones who should be yawning. Mm.
Yes, so that's this Sunday, 8th of March.
Sunday, Reign of Terror.
The following Sunday, the 15th of March, it will be live Con GT with no reviewing of stories, because that therefore gives us a bit of an extra time to look at. What's the next one after Reign of Terror?
Planet of the Giants.
Again.
But we just did that one fairly recently.
It's one of my first ones, wasn't it?
Well, we could in theory then. Go on the 15th and possibly record another one on the 17th, maybe?
We've all seen it, haven't we?
Yeah.
Standard episode on the 17th to get back on track. Yeah, why not? Indeed. Right, so thank you everybody for joining us, and hopefully Andy's going to be on the show next week.
Yay!
So, and he may well be on the Con GT.
We better get some questions going.
Wait, before you go on. What I wrote down from the last time that we talked is that we're doing the Con GT on the 15th, and then we're going to the next Sunday.
Oh,
the
22nd. Yes, we had said that.
Well, you can do the Tuesday if you like.
It was question marked, wasn't it? It was question
marked. It was question marked. It wasn't penciled in. I can see on my diary that there's nothing written in. So does that mean you want to wait to the following Sunday then, Mary?
I would, yeah.
If Mary says so, it's going to be the following Sunday. Right,
that's so early mornings.
Very short episode-ness.
Yes.
Yeah, that was going to be really... I mean, I still have the downloaded copy of Planet of Giants.
But ironically,
memory sticks.
The following week, we're doing, obviously, the Dalek Invasion of Earth.
Yes.
Which we've already done as well.
I haven't.
She hasn't. So, anyway.
Well, you have to have an opportunity to win another quiz.
So you notice he's trying to not sound sore about it, isn't he?
I don't mind losing the quiz because of this story. I can live with myself.
Exactly. There you go. Mm.
Debbie's sitting there. She's very pleased with herself. She's trying to make out she isn't. She's very pleased with herself.
Anyway. I remember the days when I used to win quizzes.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, Kevin.
Yeah.
Right, so until next week, thanks for listening to the show. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
Yay, got the urn again.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.